It's raining outside, so I was like, okay, just give me a second, I'll let you out. He just peed on the floor. But
oh,
so I went to the, and so I'm like, I got the Zoom thing, right? Mm-hmm. I got it on my phone. I made sure I knew how to download that, right? So I'm talking to Brian, and like, okay, so this Zoom thing. I said, 5 o'clock. I said, what time is it in? He said, 30 minutes. I said, so I'm done at 5:30. Because Brian knows this. I ain't doing a minute more. I might do a minute less, but I ain't going to do a minute more than you tell me. But so I'm looking at my – so he's like, no, you need to do it on your computer. Well, all I got is my desktop here. Everybody else take their laptops with them. And so I went to the computer, the desktop, and I downloaded the Zoom by myself. Now, is it going to work at 5 o'clock? You know what? Probably not. But I'm proud of myself because I did it all by myself. And that's to all y'all that say I'm not technologically sound, which I'm not, but I can figure some stuff out because I can read.
Bro, so you have not only old school Folgers coffee and filters, you have a desktop?
Yes.
What do you have a desktop? Dell? What do you got, like a Dell from 2004?
No, we got the brand new Apple one.
Oh, okay, all right. At least you're modernized. I'm thinking like kind of the old dude I got a Dell commercial.
No, we got the nice Apple one. You know.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, but you know they don't ever leave their laptop. So I refuse to buy another laptop because I done broke two laptops. I done broke like five damn iPads. So I don't need no more iPads. I'm done with all that. If it's either this phone or it's nothing.
I think Randy still uses AOL.
What are you talking about, Wendy? A desktop like that's modern. Don't people have like desktops in their offices?
Do you use a mouse?
It's the new one.
You have a mouse pad?
Do
you have a mouse pad?
It's the wireless one.
Oh, okay.
Like, is that old? People don't have desktops in their office?
Dude, I can't recall seeing a desktop. I mean, even of like an Apple status, which I know is, you know, top flight. Right. But I think most people either have a laptop or an iPad or a tablet.
I got all that stuff. But I'm tired of using it because somebody always breaking the damn screen or something like that. So, so I'm older than I think I am. But it's the new desktop by the Apple folks.
Okay,
that thing cost me a damn grip. Y'all up here making fun of me.
what's a grip? Like 2 G's?
Yeah, it cost me a damn grip.
I know that. I got you.
That's all I'm gonna say. Y'all ain't gonna make fun of me. It ain't so dull. It's all windy. It ain't dial up. I don't got that. No.
Do you still have a house phone?
Hell no.
I figured Randy would still have a home line.
Hell no, man. Y'all gonna get up off me, man. I ain't that old, man. I ain't that old. I'm not. You know what? I'm not old, Nick. I'm efficient.
Okay, I like
I'm
it.
I'm efficient. I'm efficient.
Work smarter, not harder. There you go.
Yes, Wendy. I got a pager. I found my two-way the other day. I'm gonna see if T-Mobile can turn it back on.
All right, we got a big hour coming up. Joe Patrick will join us in less than 20 minutes to talk Braves. We've got Ask Me Anything coming up at 1:40, so get those in now on social media. But right now, Brian, let's get to what's trending.
Ladies and gentlemen, time now for what's trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Certainly the last 2 weeks have been no doubt tough and as challenging as it can get, certainly during the regular season. But I also say that, certainly a coach knows his locker room and certainly know ours. And this is the strength of this group is ready to fight and keep battling through. So we got a tough team and ready to fight through what we need to fight through to play like we can play. And we're certainly looking forward to doing that.
All right, Randy, that was Dan Quinn. He thinks his team is still fighting. I think we're going to find out very quickly on Monday night. It'll probably take all of about a quarter to see what the mindset and mentality is for this Falcons team.
Well, I mean, and nobody knows their team better than their head coach. And the one thing I've always said, Nick, and one thing I'll go down, you know, even how this season, if the season gets even worse, is that these players, they love Dan Quinn. And just because you love them, that love, that belief might start going away. If you continuously lose games the way they lose games, and you're like, all right, man. Because this is what I always say. This is when you know your season is over and you about tired. All right. If you used to work out on Mondays and Tuesdays, if you used to get to the building at 6 and you start getting there at 6:30, then longer 7 and all that. That means you're giving up on the season. But as long as they're in there, when they're usually in there, in the weight room, in the meetings, first one in, last one to leave, then they're going to be fine. And hopefully they'll have confidence because they're not going to lose every game. They're not going to lose everything. I know we talked in the last segment in our Lunchtime Falcon Report about, you know, them getting Trevor Lawrence. No, because they'll win just enough games. They'll win 7 games just so they're going to be in that position to get that draft pick. And it's going to be a point where if they don't get out their own way, if they don't, you know, if they go into Green Bay and Lambeau Field with the poor me's, they're going to get smoked. And I'm because that's what Aaron Rodgers and this offense is capable of. They will get smoked if they go in there today and they're on Monday night tripping. They will. They will. So I don't anticipate that. I think, like you said earlier in the show, it seems like this has a possibility of being a 38-31, 38-35 type football game. It does.
Yep, no doubt about it. I'll be betting on the over because I don't expect many defensive stops. But nobody cares about my gambling habits. All right, let's go with the what's trending number two. Let's get to more DQ. Talking about the fact that they got to play so many young players.
Yeah, I would say it's probably a double-edged sword because we'll be better for some of those players getting more time, more experience, and going through it. It's not as fun playing football without Julio. That's for sure. You know, like his impact on the game, and certainly the case with Tack and Shep and all the guys. But at the end of it, you know, guys getting their opportunity, see what they can do, what can they handle. It'll pay dividends for us later.
There he is, Dan Quinn, and you know, we're still certainly looking for a win. We're looking to beat Green Bay, turn this thing around at the quarter point of the season, and maybe get hot again. But one of the things about you playing young players is you're always evaluating, right? You want to see if this thing does go south, who's going to be a guy that steps up and maybe wants to be here long term, right?
But the thing about it is that if it goes south, Dan's not going to get the opportunity to coach that guy because he's not going to be here. You know, so, you know, and I don't think Thomas will be here either. You know, and so those are the things. But the one thing, and I think I might say this yesterday, was don't put no bad ball on tape. Because somebody's watching, you know, and the thing about it is whoever the next guy, GM, head coach, if that happens, is going to look at that film and look how you played in the games when you knew you had no chance to go past the first season. You know, we call it the first season, the regular season, second season, playoffs, all those things. How hard do you play? What kind of film do you – what kind of effort do you put on tape? It's not – I don't think the Falcons are there yet, but I think that if they lose this game Monday night, I told you, me and Andy gave him a month. And then it's going to be a new regime. Now we're hearing from insiders like Morton, and they're going to give them maybe 6 games. Somebody said to week 10 before the bye week. I don't know when this is going to happen, but if this don't get right, quick, fast, and hurry, ain't nobody even care what Dan wants to say. Even though, you know, he's the head coach. I like Dan personally. I know Dan. I like Dan a lot. But that ain't what's going on right here. This is a results-based business.
No doubt.
Right? And you're not getting the results that you need to continue your job. That's what it is.
Midday show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mikhail in for Andy Bunker today as we are hitting what is trending with what matters to you. From the Falcons to the Dogs, let's hear Kirby Smart. Still no decision at the most important position.
All I can tell you is we're going to continue to work with all the guys we've got to put the best guy in there to give us the best opportunity to win the football games. DeJuan did not play as bad as it seemed to some, and thought he did some good things watching the tape. And he had some unfortunate bad breaks that happened while he was in at quarterback. JT will be cleared, but I don't know how much that changes the picture in terms of reps and development. We'll be looking at everybody across the board. JT's got to be able to show us that he can function efficiently and do it with his knee. Being able to do it. We always thought he would be cleared by this time anyway, but those guys will all compete, as well as Carson will too, and continue to grow at the quarterback position.
I got to tell you, Randy, I feel like right now, gut feeling, Stetson Bennett will be the guy under center for the first snap on Saturday, but I'm not sure that he will take every snap or that he will finish the game.
The thing with it is if Stetson is there – is in the game, I'll look at it as he won't lose the game for us. Not necessarily he'll go win it. He won't lose it for us. We had more talent than Arkansas. I was never worried about us losing to Arkansas. You know, I was frustrated because of how the offense was going, but I never thought we would lose to Arkansas because I knew that Felipe Franks was the quarterback and he was eventually going to do what he did. But, you know, Stetson, and then if he's in there, you know, how does the offense roll? I thought that you know, in the second half, the run game got going better. I thought the offensive line played better in the second half. And I thought the biggest thing was that Georgia didn't hurt themselves like they did in the first quarter and second quarter as far as having to start, you know, you're 34, you give a penalty, now you're back at 30, 14 or 15. I think if they can cut down those penalties, they'll be fine in this game, whoever the quarterback is, because of the talent. Because I still think even though it's Auburn, I think our depth is something, and DJ Shockley talked about it because he's absolutely mm-hmm. correct. If you look at different possession, hell, it's 7-8 dudes running on the field for Georgia and running off the field for Georgia. So yep. I think losing for you, I think our depth will ultimately overwhelm Auburn. That's just what I think personally.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And I also think, too, you look at Auburn, they lost a lot of guys from that front four defensively. Marlon Davidson, Derek Brown, Nick Coe, all guys that were either drafted pretty high or were undrafted free agents. So I know Georgia threw it 47 times last week. They ran it 42 times, so there was balance. But Zamir White only got 13 carries. I think if you watch that Kentucky-Auburn game, Kentucky was able to control the line of scrimmage. I think Georgia leans on the run game this week and attacks Auburn that way and keeps Bo Nix off the field.
I'm with you. I thought that was going to be the case this week. So we'll see. We'll see. I mean, the only way O-line can get better if they keep playing together. And I think the easiest way for them to be at their best, Nick, is when they're going mm-hmm. forward. I mean, all linemen, you can ask the best pass pro lineman of all time what they'd rather do. And all of them to a man and say, I'd rather run block. Everybody, I'd rather run block. Everybody wants to go forward and impose their will on people.
All right, let's get to one final tidbit here in What's Trending. Let's get to maybe the baddest man on the planet, not Mike Tyson, but Patrick Mahomes, Monday Night Football, and he sealed the deal with a tight end. Or no, actually, it was Eric Fisher. He threw a touchdown to a fat guy. Let's go to the tip.
Yeah, love it.
First down and goal to go at the Raven 2-yard line. Fake a hand, a short roll, throw back left, wide open, Eric Fisher, a tackle eligible, Eric Fisher, the fish jumps out of the pond and goes into the sweet nectar of the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Chiefs Radio Network.
Nectar.
How about that? How about that for a dagger?
The sweet damn nectar. But this is this is a trivia question this morning about he's the first number one overall pick to catch a touchdown pass since Keyshawn Johnson. When I saw that, I was like, oh.
So wait, hold.
The first since Keyshawn Johnson, the first number one overall pick to catch a touchdown pass since Keyshawn Johnson.
So of all the number ones in the NFL that were either a receiver, running back, or tight end, nobody's
since
caught a
Keyshawn,
touchdown pass?
Since the Jets drafted Keyshawn Johnson out of USC in the first round, Eric Fisher was the first one since then to catch a touchdown pass. I was like, wow.
How about that?
I was like, whoa. And I'm like, going back and thinking, like, who was all – like, he was the last wide receiver taken first. Let's see, who were running backs?
Did Matt Millen have any first overall picks with all those receivers he took in Detroit?
No. Number one overall pick.
Right. I'm saying, did they ever have the number one pick?
No, they just had Calvin was number two, but they had the number 10 pick back-to-back years, and they picked a wide receiver each time.
Right. All right. That's What's Trending here on the Midday Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up in just a minute.
Hold on. Huh. Y'all go get up off me, all right? The desktop is a very valuable source of stuff. All right, leave me alone, damn it.
Well, if it's a beautiful, gorgeous new Mac, I think you need to tweet out the picture to silence.
I ain't
got to
tweet nothing to y'all. It's sharp. Y'all better leave me that alone.
30 minutes from now, ask me anything. Get those in to Wendy on Instagram at Wendy Radio, on Twitter, or through the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929. We got baseball to get into. Braves, Reds tomorrow. Joe Patrick next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What's up, Joe?
We've got 92.9 The Game's midday hosts, Andy and Randy, at a combined 12 feet, 3 inches, and just under 400 pounds. To the best of our knowledge. And in the other corner, 92.9 The Game's reporter, Smokin' Joe Patrick, at an undisclosed height and weight because he likes to cause trouble.
Joe Patrick, Braves reporter, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good to have you in today, Joe. How you doing, buddy?
What up, Joe?
Hey, I'm doing good. Good, guys. How about you?
We're doing good, man. Doing I'm trying to get him up off
Randy's been better, but
I'm cool, man. What's wrong with having a desktop in your house? That's why I'm trying to figure this out. Everybody want to be all modern with your fancy laptops. We got laptops, like I told you. Brian want to show up. Don't let checkbook Randy come out and start, dropping, because I don't do that. because we humbled over here in the McMichael House. But don't be trying to clown me by some damn that's I don't got that. Okay, all right, I'm modernized to a sense.
Joe, let me hit you with this right out of the gate. Is there any chance that Max Fried tomorrow can clown Trevor Bauer and win a pitcher's duel? Is that I feel like if we can somehow beat Trevor Bauer, I feel like the series is the Braves. What do you think the odds are of Max out-dueling Trevor in game one?
You know, it's going to be tough for Fried, and it's not necessarily because I think his stuff is going to be any different than what Braves fans are typically accustomed to seeing, but, you know, just based on what we heard from him and Brian Snicker earlier today, it sounds like his stamina is not going to be the same as it has been, you know, at points this season where he's able to pitch 7-8 innings, you know, be his the kind of workhorse that he is, just because he hasn't been pitching those same kinds of innings with the injury situations he's been dealing with coming into this postseason. But the good news is that he is feeling great. He says he's feeling as good as he's ever felt, you know, just 100% tip-top shape. So that is really good. Good to hear that he will be in fine condition. But it sounds like the Braves are really just kind of hoping they can get 5 innings out of him, 6 maybe, if he's more efficient. I think Bauer is going to be a guy who the Reds are much more likely to lean on later in the game because the Braves have, you know, they have a strength in the bullpen where they can, when Max Fried needs to hand the ball over, they're not losing a ton, as opposed to the Reds where you feel like you want to get as much as you can out of a guy like Trevor Bauer, who's, of course, making, you know, his own Cy Young case this year. So it should be an amazing pitching battle, you know, which is kind of what we're all accustomed to seeing in the playoffs. And, you know, Brian Snicker said that the pitchers had the advantages in these situations, especially when you had two teams that haven't played each other this year. They're kind of unfamiliar with each other in terms of the hitters being familiar with the pitchers and what they're going to see. So, you know, it's going to be a really interesting thing. And I think that is, you know, that puts a lot of pressure on both of these guys to perform for their respective teams.
Joe, give me an update on this these injuries right now, because I saw today you had tweeted out Brian Snicker's talk about Austin Riley. What's the deal with his nephew Ronnie going to be okay? How are they doing as health-wise when we talk about the Braves getting ready for the playoffs?
Yeah, so I think that was the number one kind of storyline that everybody wanted to know when Brian Snicker did his press. And I think the overall news was very, very positive for the Braves, about as good as you could have expected. He said that Ronald Acuna is ready to go. Like, he's going to play. If the playoffs would have been, you know, a couple of days ago when he was sitting out, he would have played then too. They just wanted to give his rest a little bit, or his wrist a little bit of rest, because there's just been some lagging soreness from when he dealt with that injury earlier in the season. But he'll be good to go. He's going to be batting leadoff, as he always has. Chris Martin, big time, you know, bullpen arm for the Braves this year. He's been amazing. He kind of miraculously, to me, apparently feels great. I was worried about him when we found out that he was suffering from a groin injury. Usually that seems like something that's not going to just all of a sudden heal up super quickly, but it's apparently something that he has dealt with before, so he knew exactly what he was feeling when he started feeling it, and he didn't push it at all. And after a couple of days of rest, he's feeling much, much better. In fact, he says he feels perfectly fine, or that's what Brian Snicker said. So good news on those guys. The only guy who's not going to be 100% going into the playoffs is Austin Riley. But again, the good news is that he's at least good enough to still play. He's been swinging every day. He hit against Max Fried when Max worked a session on Sunday. So, you know, all these guys are kind of gearing up and getting ready to play. The Braves should have, you know, for as many season-long injuries and guys that they've lost in the starting rotation, they should be in pretty good shape otherwise from a health perspective.
Joe Patrick joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline to talk some Braves and Reds. Game one of the series gets underway tomorrow as we've got postseason baseball in Atlanta. You know, after Trevor Bauer, you've got Castillo, you've got Sonny Gray. I feel like the Braves bats can certainly get to those two pitchers, but this feels like just like the classic matchup of the old adage of great bats against great pitchers. And we know historically the theme is great pitching will shut down great hitting. But I look at the Reds offensively, third least runs scored in the National League. What is the formula for the Reds to theoretically pull off an upset against the Braves?
I mean, the Reds have been very reliant on the home run ball. If you look at how their runs have been produced, it's come like so much more than other teams through hitting home runs. So really that's going to be one of the keys for these Braves starting pitchers, just keeping the ball in the ballpark, which can be a struggle at times. I mean, Truist Park sometimes can feel like a bandbox, especially with that short right field porch. So that's going to be a key for the Braves pitchers, just try to keep the ball in the ballpark. But yeah, you're right. I mean, the Reds have that's one of the reasons why this series is kind of a classic narrative matchup. If you've got the kind of the
the unmovable or the immovable object versus the however that phrase goes.
We know what you mean.
Everybody knows. But I think what the Braves really have going for them is not only do they have a lineup of good hitters, they have a lineup of really smart hitters who really know how to work counts, how to really make starting pitchers aggravated and get them to not be so efficient in games. And then they go and they just pound other teams' bullpens. They've pretty much done that to every team they've played this year. So that's going to be one of the keys for, I think, if you're watching this series, is to hope to see the Braves really work counts, get the starting pitchers' pitch counts up early in the game, and then let them do the damage late on, because we know that this team, even if they're trailing, if they're hitting against another team's bullpen, I would never count this team out, no matter how much they're down. So they're going to have chances late in games, regardless of what the score is at that time.
And, Joe, we know this is a tricky thing right here with these three games, and we know that Max Fried, like you say, is going tomorrow, and we're pretty sure that the other two guys are going to be Ian Anderson and Kyle Wright. Is that the definite right there?
That's what we suspect. It hasn't been confirmed yet, but that's what I would expect to see. And then we'll see where we go from there if the Braves are still alive at that point, because things get really really crazy with the schedule, with this postseason schedule the way it is, so much different than it is in normal years. But, yeah, those are the guys we can expect to see in this series. Ian Anderson will be the guy who's teed up to go next, and then Kyle Wright will pitch game three if it's needed.
Joe, final one for me. When I look at and I ask myself for this Braves team, what would be a success in the postseason, even though we know that the pitching is not where it needs to be, and pitching is obviously a huge element when we get to the month of October. I said to myself, I go, all right, win this series, win the division series. If you lose to the Dodgers in the NLCS in six games, I would still consider that a success, because you won two series after basically a two-decade drought, and you did so missing a lot of quality starting pitching, or lacking in that department, I should say. What is a success for this team in the postseason?
I think for Braves fans, it's just going to vary by fan, right? Some fans are just win the World Series or bust, and some just want this team to win a playoff series, which they haven't done in nearly two decades. But I can tell you, just based on what Brian Snicker said today, I mean, this team thinks they can win the World Series. Like, this team thinks that they can go all the way, and that's what they want to do. And they're going to be very disappointed if they win the series against the Reds but then get knocked out against the Cubs in the next round or something like that. This team's going to go home disappointed, because they really feel like they've got the potential to go all the way. And so that's really great to hear the mentality of that team. But, you know, Brian Snicker said these guys don't really have the same perspective on the postseason as a lot of fans do, because these players, a lot of them have only been around for two or three years. You know, maybe they've had a couple years of, unsuccessful postseason appearances these last 2 years. But it's not like they're Braves fans who have been, living and dying with this team for 20, 30, 40, 50 years and kind of experiencing all of those turmoils. So I think this team is, they're dead set on, they're still confident. They trust the starting pitchers that they have, and they really just obviously trust the bats that they're going to be able to get the job done. And so we'll see if that happens.
Joe Patrick, a man who, unlike Randy McMichael, has made the switch to a cable modem. Good stuff,
Joe. That's all good, man. Appreciate you, Joe.
Sounds good, guys. Talk later.
There he is. Joe right. Patrick, a little Braves talk. There you go. Expectations probably vary fan to fan. But for me, you get to the NLCS and you run into a great Dodgers team, I think that's a success. If you can win two series.
Hell no, we beating the Dodgers too.
I would love it. I would love it.
We ain't conceding nothing.
All right. Coming up next, final segment, Ask Me Anything time. Get those questions in on social media, at Wendy Radio, Instagram, at Wendy on Twitter, or on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929. AMA coming up next on the Midday Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We're queuing up your questions with the Midday's AMA.
Ask Me Anything. Glad you asked. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back in here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mikhail in for Andy today. He'll be back tomorrow. Of course, AMA, and this hour brought to you by rightfromtheheart.org. We will get to Wendy and also your calls in a moment on Ask Me Anything at 404-741-0929. But a little birdie got into my ear and chirped into my headset, Randy. I believe you made a doorstep discovery. Do you care to enlighten the audience?
Well, first of all, Nick, I don't ever leave my house anymore, ever since Wendy put me on Instacart and stuff. And so I don't leave Lilburn. Only time I leave Lilburn is to go to the damn airport. Other than that, I don't leave the confines of here. I ain't got nowhere I need to be. But anyway, so I remember, and it blew my mind because the refrigerator was full this weekend, but I had over-ordered some brews, right?
Mm-hmm.
And happened to go outside and open the door, a damn brew sitting right there because I thought I was going to have to go to the package store real quick. Sitting right there, Nick. So I'm like, hey, you mean to, it's a sign that I need to stay here and work here forever, Sean and Reggie. It's a sign. It's a sign that I don't ever need to leave here. But like I said, yeah, I don't leave Lilburn unless I got to go to the airport. Other than that, the kids school here, my package store here, my barber here, Walmart here, which I ain't got to go to no more because I download the Walmart app and they send me my stuff. So I ain't got to go nowhere, man. And Nick, I'm the simplest person in the world, dude, because I don't need nothing. I don't need drawers, socks, nothing. I'm just simple, man. Okay.
No socks, no drawers. You guys can use your imagination and visualize that.
I'm so simple, man. I just, you know, I'm just cool, man.
All right, let's bring in Wendy for Ask Me Anything. Good afternoon, Wendy.
But Randy, you don't miss me? I haven't seen you since March.
Wendy, I see enough of you on your Instagram.
You don't want to come to work every day and see me?
Me seeing your Instagram story, I see that. I'm like, there goes my Wendy. That's all I need. I see you, Wendy. I see your pretty face every day I wake up in the morning. Wendy's at the gym. Wendy's with the bunny. Wendy's with her homies getting on it. So, I see you all the time. I see you all the time, Wendy.
It's not the same, Randy, because I don't see you back. You don't end the story. And we haven't even cheers the shot together in a really long time. I mean, this has been a really difficult 2020.
Hey, man, I done downloaded Zoom. We can have a Zoom party. I'm big time now.
Oh, you're about to do FaceTime?
No, I ain't doing no FaceTime. I said Zoom.
Yeah, I mean, virtual happy hours are a thing these days.
Yeah, I don't do all that Zoom. Yeah, I don't do all that FaceTime. You know that.
I mean, it's kind of like Zoom. I'm just saying. Anyways, Brian did send a tweet out. Send us your best gift for checkbook Randy Mac. So if you want to do that, you can head over to our Twitter page at 929 The Game. Send us your best gift of checkbook Randy. Let's start the questions. What is your go-to home improvement store?
My go-to home improvement store? Home Depot. Yeah, I'm not real fancy with mine. I mean, yeah, I'm Home Depot. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go to either Home Depot or Lowe's. It doesn't really matter because I'm totally inept when it comes to home improvement.
Bro, like, me and you both.
Bro, I'm telling you right now, you could bring in like a miter saw or a socket wrench. Like, I wouldn't know the difference in any of those things.
Hey, man, I'm the most unhandy person ever. Now, the directions are there. I'm good. Like, my Aunt Pam, I was talking to Aunt Pam last night. She said, because she don't look too far from me. She's like, she got this desk that she wants to put together. I was like, well, does it actually have to be functional, or do you just want it to be there for show? Because if you want me to put it together, the desk, and you're going to sit at it, it might be a problem because it might fall. But, I mean, you know, hey, to each his own. I'm not handy. I'll admit it.
So y'all are not handymen.
I literally can't assemble anything. Like, well,
I mean,
my
I can assemble if I got directions.
No, I can't even do that. Like, my wife will get something for our kids, like a playpen or this toy or that
poor
toy
child.
That comes with the instructions. I can't do any of it.
Poor child. That's how you be. Poor damn baby. Hey, baby. Hey, I'm with you right now. You don't need that damn screw. It might hold the whole thing together. That's me.
I love putting together furniture, so if you guys have any of that, I mean, you can pay me, but I'll put it together for you because I actually enjoy that. Oatmeal pies or fudge rounds?
Oatmeal pies.
Oh, you talking about the oatmeal cream pie?
Yeah.
100% oatmeal cream pie. The Little Debbie's.
100. I love the other one, but oatmeal pies, without a doubt. Oatmeal pies are undefeated. They might be the best. And I love me some Nutty Buddies, but yeah, oatmeal pies is undefeated, man.
But you know the thing, though, with the oatmeal cream pie? Like, the little ones, I think, are perfect. But they make the bigger-sized ones as well.
See,
it's too much.
Kyle, I've been on this earth 40-plus years. And I done ate so many oatmeal pies in my life. I've never, ever heard or called it oatmeal cream pie. We just call it oatmeal pie, and everybody knows what you're talking about.
Okay.
I never heard it.
You just
told me. I mean, I know what they're called, but I've never heard anybody call them oatmeal cream pie. We just call them oatmeal pies.
Well, I think Nick Saban just calls them Little Debbies.
I mean, first of all, I already know about that, man, because they took his little – Nick. They tried to take his Little Debbies one time when he was in Miami. Mm-hmm. Nick loses his mind without that Little Debbie in the morning.
Yep. Yeah. Now, this is a Pennsylvania thing, but have you ever had the Tasty Cake, like the butterscotch crimpets?
Nah. Didn't Tasty Cake drop like a bunch of Tasty Cakes off at the Kia Studios one time, Wendy? They just sat there. Now, I'm not a big sweets eater.
Okay.
You know, but yeah, that's why we don't keep oatmeal pies in the house, because I eat all of them, man. Mm. It ain't so good. Yeah,
what are y'all's thoughts on moon pies?
Hell no.
No.
I had my grandma's age.
Thank you, Randy. Thank you.
Hell no.
Nope.
Yeah, damn, I don't understand. Man, that was my grandma's thing. It's like two pieces of cardboard with some mush in the middle.
Yeah.
remember back to the first time you can recall this. What did you want to be when you grew up? Your first memory of what you wanted to be when you grew up.
Oh, I wanted to be a fireman.
That's cool.
I remember that distinct. I wanted to be a fireman when I grew up.
I actually wanted to be a tight end in the NFL.
Whatever, dude.
True story. No, Randy, I told you Sunday when we texted when we were doing the show and we found out, like even back in the day, back in Madden 04 when Mike Vick was on the cover, I used to use the Dolphins and it was you at tight end and Chambers and Ricky Williams and Fiedler. Right. I wanted to be a tight end. I used to force feed you the rock on the skinny post, man.
Well, I appreciate that, man, but don't be showing my damn age around here.
But here's the only problem, though. Like, I'm a 5'10", 190-pound high school football player.
I do not act my age, all right? Stop. Okay, Brian? Please.
I know you act older than that, Randy.
You can't make it as a tight end in the league at 5'10".
Okay. I already know where to go with that. Probably not.
As a kid, I wanted to be a McDonald's French fry girl. At 5 years old, I was like, I could do that.
What's a McDonald's French fry girl, Wendy?
I don't know. They had someone serve you the French fries at McDonald's when I was little, and I thought it would be fun to put it in the little package.
That's a great question, Brian. Has that dream changed for you?
No. Maybe I should still go back to being a McDonald's French fry girl.
Hey, I'll be dead serious for a second. McDonald's, I mean, if you like lose your job during the pandemic, yo, McDonald's will flat out pay you. Some of the people that work like the third shift make like $20 an hour.
What?
Yeah.
Well, I really love you guys, but I mean, all right, McDonald's. I see you. That girl dream is a reality.
There you go.
All right, we'll do one more question. Oh, are you doing takeaways?
Yep.
All right.
You got one more?
Oh, we can do takeaways. Let's go.
Okay.
As our show heads into the final stretch, it's time for the takeaway of the day.
So many achievements.
On Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, Wendy, what do you got today? What'd you learn?
I learned that Checkbook Randy is modernized, but drinks Folgers, has a desktop, and uses dial-up.
All right, man. Well,
Randy, Mac?
My takeaway, y'all gonna get up off me, all right? I got all kind of modern stuff, dude. I got two modems. I got a wireless, but I got modems, all right? I ain't got no damn dial-up. I ain't got no house phone. Yes, I like my Folgers. And check what Randy was, that humble brag of, Brian, don't make me bring out, you know, never mind. Y'all better leave me alone, all right?
You know, Randy has modems.
Randy, I've been eyeing up the Audi Q7 for quite some time. I mean, I really can't afford it.
Okay.
But I'm just, you know, since you are Checkbook Randy, I'm wondering what the bank of Checkbook Randy offers from like an APR standpoint, if I could finance through you.
Okay, I'll tell you this. Let's do a couple more shows and then we can discuss it.
Okay.
That thing's sharp, though. That out here. Woo, that thing's sweet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, Brian, what'd you learn?
Well, Randy's got two modems, so get up off him, you know?
Yeah. Hey, Brian, it's for inside and outside, and you can even reach it over there all the way to neighbor Libby and Bob's house. Everybody get free Wi-Fi on me if I ain't had no password.
Checkbook Randy's got modems for the whole neighborhood. Look at
damn
that.
Right.
Move to Lilburn, and Randy's got your Wi-Fi covered. He's got
damn
you.
Damn right.
I've never trusted a guy who has two modems.
Hey, man. Hey, when you got square footage like us, you need them. That's a checkbook. That's a checkbook. Randy drop right there.
Oh,
by the way,
man. A couple other things, real quick here. Randy likes his coffee filtered through the little white thing, strong as possible and dark as possible. We got a new P1 listener, Checkbook Randy. You've heard a lot about him the last hour. Randy also said he's not old; he's just efficient. And oatmeal pies—they're undefeated—and Nick Saban will lose his mind without his little Debbie snacks in the morning. And thanks a lot, Nick, for filling in over the last 2 days. Great job, man.
Total pleasure. So much fun. Thanks, guys.
Hey, Nick, we appreciate you so much, my brother, man. It was a whole lot of fun, man. Hopefully we can do this again sometime. Y'all make sure y'all tune in. Nick will be on this weekend from 3 to 6:30, right before the United game. So y'all make sure y'all check out my boy. Check out Willie P also. Same with Greg and Sam, everybody. Hey, man, and to be back tomorrow. We appreciate y'all listening. Again, my man Nick. Thanks a lot, brother.